Okay, let me just check. Oh, good. That's my sticky feet?
Yeah.
Okay.
What else is in here?
That's the running temptation for whoever's speaking.
Gotcha. Okay, well. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Holy Father, we thank you so much that you can keep everyone here alert, not thinking about food, praise God. And Father, that you can focus on you and what you have to put in our hearts and how we love you so much, Father, and that everyone here can just focus on your goodness, your mercy, your love, that we not dwell on the issues and problems and weights that just beset us. And so we thank you so much that you could overcome all that. And we thank you in the blessed name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We've got great speakers here, haven't we? And a lot of great teachings, which I'm really blessed with. So, really thankful for all the speakers. Tony McCurry, Barney, Michael. So it's been really great. Enjoyed it all. And so I'm sure everyone here has been just as blessed. I'm sure everyone's eager to have a meal as well. So I know that, but between the food and me is, of course, the teaching, right? So. But in the spirit of Barney's comments, you know, when coat goes around, comes around, Barney, I'm the last speaker, by the way. So if you're hungry, hang on now. And by the way, the TFT conference next year, okay? I didn't forget anything behind Barney, okay? I didn't leave anything home. And so I just wanted to share that I don't have everything neat, okay, organized. I just thought that to God, you know, I guess to every teacher, you know, there's always this something that's put on your heart, and sometimes we don't know how to put it all together. Not that you need to either, do you? Because after all, that's God. We hate to take credit in any of it. And so, if it's of your doing, then it's all you, not God. And so, the thought has been bubbling, and maybe it's not even finalized, and that's okay too. But it has to do with God's plan and purpose. You know, this is interesting, because when I checked into that hotel, who's staying at the James Inn? Okay, so, the first thing I did was unloaded all my stuff on the sink there. And then I just looked down and I saw that little sign. It said, save the earth. It said, save the earth? Mind you, I'm rushing to get here. Save the earth? What could that possibly mean? Save the earth? That's so antithetical to what God would have is to replace it. And save the earth. And put me in this hotel. I didn't share that with you, but Maria's looking at me. How come you didn't say anything? Well, you know, some things you keep to yourself, right? Savior. And unlike Jack, God bless him, I don't give handouts. I mean, that's probably the government's role. I don't give handouts. But praise God. But, you know, as we read God's word, as we listen to the speakers, we can't help but see, of course, how God has a plan, he has a purpose. Christendom today sees maybe, perhaps, the plan, or half of it, if you will, and they fail to see the whole purpose, or the whole scope, if you will. A good example of that, look at Genesis, chapter 1. And it's important for us to, yes, get together, as Barney says. We need each other, as Barney says. That's important. You know, but some of what I'm going to share goes back to what Barney's saying, not to piggyback on Barney, but it is God's way of validating the truth. And so I want to think about it that way. That's divinely inspired when we see certain things that are just validated in His Word. And so in Genesis 1, anyone who reads this, in the first chapter, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Okay, that's it. He created the heaven and the earth. That's it. Well, is that it? Or is there, or is that the plan, and is there a grand, glorious purpose behind it all? You see? And so, to the person or believer who has, you know, the mind of Christ, we can see beyond. We know that there is an earth, and there is a purpose for that. That the heavens were created, and that there was a purpose for that. And it's not just for the stars to shine a little light, or the sun to shine light, to give us, you know, food. It goes beyond that. Covenant theologian, you know, he just sees the earth. To the dispensationalist, the light divider, we see a deeper truth. You know, a deeper truth and purpose of God with His various cult callings and spheres. Look at Luke chapter 4. Let's look at that one. And I'm not going to, by the way, I want to make sure that let everyone know, we won't take the full time because I recognize we run a little over, and that's okay. What I have to say, I can get to the point. Yeah, so we're definitely going to eat on time. What time is it? Dinner is usually on at 6, right?
Yeah.
Is that how they eat down here? Y'all only eat at 6?
Yeah.
Okay. Luke chapter 4. So here we have our Lord in verse 18, when He says, let's take it one back up here, 17, and there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written. 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And we all know that that had its place and purpose then. In Christendom, they read this, and they limit it to what they see here. You know, they see words like to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recover sight, and you'll see, of course, many of the evidential miracles being preached. To us, we see something that He deliberately omitted. And so, there's a difference between God's plan and purpose that fails to be seen and observed by the casual observer. Because we know there was more to that. Look at Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, verse 1. And we see it right there where He got that. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And this is what He left out, as we all know. In the day of vengeance of our God. And it's interesting. We need to, of course, see what they don't see. We see that. Christendom, for the most part, just does not. Because if they did, then we'll feel hard-pressed to in other words, agree with what they may suggest otherwise than what this verse really deals with. And more importantly, it validates, as Barney was saying, the need to rightly divide God's word.
Amen. Amen.
So, and don't get me wrong, you have a lot of sincere believers. But let's be truthful. Sincerity is not a standard truth. It's simply not. You could be sincere and be wrong. And where do you want to err on? Sincerity or truth? I would suppose the latter. And that's why God validates these truths. You know, it's almost as if when we read, we see this sprinkled throughout the Word of God. Look at Romans chapter 10. I like to think of such sincerity being off to say, you're sincerely wrong. But I won't go there. Romans chapter 10. Verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal for God. And isn't that what a lot of sincere people have? A zeal for God. But not according to knowledge. That's important. Important to understand as we even witness. To acknowledge, to speak to. Look at Acts chapter 8. We're going to look at the record on verse 26, where the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip. And the angel, verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority on the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. How many times have we had come across individuals, well-meaning, and they've either attempted to share something that's either right, wrongly divided, okay, or not understood the depth of what they're reading? What did he do here? And as we read, we'll see what he says. 28, was returning and sitting in the chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Well, why do I do that? Why would I want to talk to this stranger over here? I don't want to, God. You know, I got benefits too. I got to get a haircut. And Philip ran. He didn't walk, he ran. I would have liked to run with him, actually, but he ran. Their eagerness to respond. Ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. What if he would have walked? He would have, probably would have only heard halfway. Right? That's right. Just think about that. And said, understandest thou what thou readest? It's the simplest question that you could ask anyone. We should take note. I recall very recently having a vendor come to my house, and he happened to be a believer because my Bible was on the kitchen, and he made a comment about that. Make a long story short, when it gets to the things of God, and he starts inquiring, where do I go to church? Right? Where do I go to ecclesia, you mean? Do you know what that Greek word is by chance? Ecclesia? Is that a building? Is that a ministry? What is it?
Well, I gotta go off soon.
When I proceeded to explain that no, there's not a physical church, he began and attempted to say how I should consider reading in Hebrews, and we all know the verse. Don't forsake the assembly. We heard that before, didn't we? Don't forsake the assembly of God. Has anybody ever, anyone in Christendom ever tell you that? Boy, you don't go to church. You should not forsake the assembly of God. Really? What does that word mean? Do you know what that word means? Understandest thou what thou readest? Assembly. Is that Jewish? Understandest thou what thou readest? Is that the assembly of what? The synagogue? And so that's why it's so important for us to understand the rightly divided word. If you don't, how can you share? Someone at some point is going to question or inquire, and we need to be prepared, as Philip was when he ran and obeyed and inquired, understandest thou what thou readest? It's God's plan and purpose for us. You know, to add to Barney's furtherance of the book of Acts, look at Acts 1:21. Acts 1:21. And we saw that. We saw where here were the apostles. Looking to complete God's plan and purpose here. 21. Wherefore of these men which have company with us? I think criteria, right? Criteria number one. All the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Criteria number one. Verse 22. Beginning from the baptism of John. Criteria number two. From the beginning of the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. That was the criteria, and yet was Paul, the Apostle Paul, of that qualification? He was not. And yet we know he claimed and declared to be a preacher of the Gentiles. Now, to Christendom, they've got to reconcile one with the other. Because if Paul declares to be the preacher of Gentiles, the prisoners for you Gentiles, and yet we have here a criteria under which the past dispensation was designated, then we have two different plans and purpose of God. How do you account one from the other? How do you distinguish one from the other? Well, here is one thought. It goes on. But this is, again, to use Barney's word, validates God's plan and purpose. Distinguishes one from the other. There is a distinction. There is a difference. Otherwise, Paul would have been grouped with them, and he was not. And where do we take our charter from? Paul's epistles, specifically the prison epistles. Look at John chapter 2, verse 17. Christendom, as I said before, is very zealous. We see it, we hear it, we get confronted by it. In verse 17, and his disciples remembered that it was written, quote, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. That's in Psalms. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Understand this with our readers. Do they understand God's plan and purpose? Paul was there. Paul was one of them, wasn't he? What does he say in verse 6 of chapter 3 in Philippians? Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count the loss for Christ. He understood. He was there. And weren't we at any one given time, too? I was. Anybody else? Maybe you were all rightly divided believers right from the beginning. And that's great. Most are not. You know, Peter makes a, I think, astounding, I think, remark. And I'm sure a lot of you have seen this here. But I think it's worth noting. Because, again, the majority of Christendom doesn't see this. And I think this is huge to miss this. In 2 Peter, chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And in verse 15, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures unto their own destruction. Wow. What could that possibly be? You think we know a little bit about that? You know, I heard earlier some speakers making, actually, Michael, that was great, by the way. That teaching was fantastic. It really was. I mean, I was ready to talk to you about, you know, guys that followed, like, the guy from Hippo, what's his name? St. Gregory, Augustine of Hippo. I mean, I was really like, wow. And you know what's interesting? We all need history. Do I get my certificate later?
Yeah.
Okay. It's an important endeavor that we should all, as individuals, understand church history. I think there is a real value behind that. And you know, you talked about underground movement. You talked about a secret society. You know, and I couldn't help but feel, that's me. I'm that underground movement. That's us, isn't it? I couldn't help but relate. It just felt like it's talking about us. Here we are. Yeah, no TV. We're not, you know, broadcasting. You know, we're not collecting money. Or are you, huh? So it's $5 good, right? But the point being that no one likes this stuff. And if you share it, you're not going to get probably a response. I know I usually don't. Or you'll get rejected. Or you'll get categorized. Right? I like to think and say, having the sales nature in me, some will, some won't. So what? It's not about you, it's not about me, is it? And that's the point, that's the hardest part about overcoming what Welch even referred to as, you know, the rejection or loneliness that we may find ourselves in. And that's all the more reason, as Barney said, why we need the fellowship of one another. The edification is important. God would have that, wouldn't he? Look at the Philippians 1, chapter 1. See, so we always wonder, how does this and that happen to me? You know, why did I leave my teaching behind? Why couldn't I organize my thoughts in time? It doesn't matter in the end, because it's God's purpose. We don't know. I don't know certain things. He's just that much big. I can't figure it out. I do know one thing, that over and over and over and over again in the Word of God, we see certain things that just sprung up on us, and they're important to understand. Because Paul went through a lot, didn't he? I mean, he went through a lot. Now, we weren't there, but he tells us about it. And even though he went through it, it almost seemed like whatever his efforts were, they were going nowhere. Nowhere. It didn't matter how many tracks he gave. His life was on the line. He was beaten up, wasn't he? And so, what does he have to say about it all? Well, look at verse 12, chapter 1. But I would, you should understand. Gotta understand this. Because the more we get it, the more we can relate to this now. Brethren, talking to his brethren here, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out, rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Now, who's complaining? We can't. So, when things happen, it's unto what? The furtherance of the gospel. I have nothing else to add other than what is in there. And if it's there, he said it. If it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me. Galatians chapter 2. Verse Now, again, how is it that we see certain truths that are validated in God's Word? And when I say validate, I mean validate the fact that there is that mystery of the one body. The fact that Paul the Apostle was a prisoner for us Gentiles. And many other truths associated with those tenets. And here we hear that council that occurred. This is a historical record of something that actually occurred. Can you imagine being there? There were two camps. When you read that, it's almost like watching a movie. And you're going, wow, look at that. Because look what is being said. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but probably to them which were a reputation, lest by any means I should run or have run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of the false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, they make it no matter to me. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul saying, making such a statement?
Yes.
it's telling you one thing, that his apostleship was not dependent on men. It was dependent on the one Almighty who had already been ascended. Because of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. I like it. And that's not condescending. Let's get this straight. It's drawing the line. It's validating the truth we know. And what Christendom fails to see. Seven. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrote effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, John, and who seemed to be pillars, it's got a way with words here, perceive the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. That's very clear to me. That there was a distinctive order. And Christendom does not acknowledge that, do they? And it's right there. Second Corinthians, chapter 5. For the love of Christ constraineth, chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that which live, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yet though we know Christ after the flesh, we know Christ after the flesh, okay? Yet now, henceforth. And that word henceforth, if you look at in your companion Bible, it's pretty emphatic. From now. Yet now. From now. Yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. How so? Does that mean they don't know Christ? No. Know him no more how? After the flesh. There's another fantastic dividing point of distinctive order provided for us to see, for Christendom to see. Jack said, we've got to get to a place where we believe what the Word of God says. Amen. I agree. If it says it, believe it. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's keep this real simple. Verse 2. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word, pinches it to you word. Who's you word? Verse 1. Gentiles. Right? 3:3. Verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. We have a parenthetical couple of verses on going on after that. So it jumps from there, how that by revelation made known unto me the mystery. 9, to make all men see what is the fellowship now of the mystery. Now we know that that's oikonomia, not koinonia. Not koinonomia. Two distinctive words, oikonomia. That's the stewardship. And so now, are we going to believe that? What does Christendom do with that? What does a person do when they're confronted with what's written? You either accept it or reject it. But it's pretty plain to me that if it's fellowship and in the original is oikonomia, then you either have to now accept it and take God's word for what it says. Because if you're rejecting it, then are you believing God? First Timothy chapter 2. Just giving you a couple of nuggets. So I'm sure many of you have seen this. Have you heard this verse earlier today? Chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Let's make no mistake about it. We're under attack. And yet, not really. It's not us. Ultimately, we know that the prince of the air is the one that's dominating and controlling the affairs of this earth. And yet, we also know, we understand that and we have the eyes of us understanding, we know that ultimately that will lead into God's ultimate plan and purpose for it all. The same way Christ is crucified. And so, as we are really inclined to fret and complain about whether it's, you know, human government affairs, keep in mind, and this is what Barney was suggesting, right in line with what I see as well, is to take the energy and focus off from what? This. And so, that's the very reason why we need to guard ourselves. You see? Because Do you really want to keep this? Do you think that God wants to keep all this what we have? Or improve upon it? No. Remember going back to that little sign I saw in the hotel room? Save the earth. Are you kidding? Save the earth. That's right. It's going to get worse before it gets better. Praise God. It's going to get worse before it gets better. Why would we want it to get better? You see? And so if it's only to prove one point, it's to what? To achieve God's plan and purpose. God's ultimate plan and purpose will be carried out. Regardless of who is in power and who is not. Doesn't matter. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. For who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's worth repeating. Because to Christendom, they don't see anything here. Well, this is what I see. Who will have all men to be saved? First point. Now, I believe there's a conjunction. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But at least in the English, there's a conjunction of and. And to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Seems to me there are two different points here. Would you all agree? Yeah. And so there are two different points here, then it's not enough just to be saved, is it? What would God have us to know? He would have us to come unto what? The knowledge of the truth. What truth? Can't be saved, because he already mentioned that. Am I right? Why would he say that twice? There's a deeper truth that it would seem to be. That he would have everyone to acknowledge and know. About John chapter 3, the book of John. How's everyone doing? Hungry? I am. John 3. John 3. We've got to believe God's word. It's that simple. Religion has it wrong. It's just man-made. It's tradition. It is what it is. Look what Christ said. And in verse 12, he goes, if I told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? He had it right. Didn't he? He had it right. 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven. That cinches it for me. He said it, I believe it. Who am I to question that any of my relatives are hanging out in heaven when he said, no man hath ascended up to heaven? You're either going to believe it or reject it. But he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. It's so simple that it almost distraughts me to think that someone would reject that and discombobulate that to need to make that mean something else. But we heard Paul when he said that there would be those who would what? Believe fables, right? And just go way off. And we have that today. So, we're that underground movement. We're that secret society. And we might not get credit for it right now. But you saw earlier before how our brother Michael was giving credit to these great men of God. And so can you imagine, hypothetical, 200 years from now, yeah, that group over there, this is great, and somebody else is teaching about us and what we did. Okay, and that was a couple from Norwalk. I can see it now. Right? So, my point being, they had no credit then. They were the secret society. No one knew about them. All of a sudden, we're talking about people no one knew about then. And they accomplished God's plan and purpose. Because we have nothing to do with anybody, sect, religion, people, groups, nothing. We only have to do with Him. Right? Look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open. And you see in the companion Bible, those are the divine x-rays that allow nothing to be hidden. Open unto the eyes of Him. And He sees it all. He can see it all. With whom we have to do. Powerful statement. Who we're accountable to. With whom we have to do. We need only believe God's word and not question it. And we'll do well to teach others the same. Look at John chapter 3, and we'll end it there. John chapter 3. I should have kept reading where I left off before, but I didn't, so I'll take it up now. Verse 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. There's an axiom here. I see the axiom, the symbol. Right? Not perish, have eternal life. Not perish, have eternal life. Not perish, have eternal life. Nothing about heaven. Nothing about soul. Nothing about, what did they call that in between stuff?
Purgatory.
verse 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Already. From the get-go. As I say in the Northeast. Let me use that word there. Okay. So, we We just need, as Jack said, to come to a place where we teach others, as the opportunity arises, that we're sharing these important truths, and others, as we study and allow God to work in our hearts. Because the opportunities will come up in various different ways. And we just need to at least have this. And, you know, Jack has a really fabulous system because he has these little cards. And every time I see him at a function, have you worked on those returns? I'm working on them. I'm trying to get them on business cards and the computer. But it's a great idea. You know, who walks around all the time with a Bible? Okay, maybe you do, Mike. Got it. He's going, I do. But, you know, you may not always have a Bible around, right? And yet, you come across a person like that, God bless him. These are Timurite scripture. And so, that's a worthy endeavor. Is it to make you look smart? Nope, I don't think so. But it's to achieve what? God's plan and purpose. And so I'll endeavor to do that. And so that as the opportunity presents itself, and I don't have the book, I can say, have you seen Ephesians 3:9? Can you tell me what that means? See? So praise God. Let's close it up. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for everyone's heart, and thank you for your word. Father, that it can just bubble in our hearts, and that we can digest every morsel of it. And we thank you for the teachers. We thank you for everyone's well-being here. And Father, we especially thank you for the preparation of the meal. Father, we can truly enjoy the riches of your grace. That we can feast on it, and Father, that we can just be merry and fellowship with one another. We thank you for the nourishment that is that we're about to consume, that it may benefit our physical bodies. And so we thank you for all this in the wonderful, blessed name of our Lord and Savior.